Footy Spirit has pinched the Oaks by four lengths.
But a champion becomes a legend. Makati Deaver has won it.
Hello and welcome. This is Dotcom and the Den Mondays. I am Roger Aldridge and my stablemate from Wolf Den on a Monday is Richard Irvin. Rich, not a banner weekend in terms of Group 1 racing, but we did see a couple of horses win races, albeit in Sydney, who are set to be serious stars this spring.
They are, yeah. Fangirl and Autumn Glow. Brilliant. Can't wait to talk about them a bit later on. But don't forget about the mighty Buckaroo in the Underwood. That was a massive win as well by that man Waller again. So no, I'm ready to go, Rog. It's going to be great. Let's do this.
Yeah, I absolutely give a buck. And that leads us beautifully into our straight six. We'll wait to take you through the half dozen things that really mattered across the weekend's racing.
The straight six.
First port of call on our straight six is, of course, Buckaroo. The Underwood, definitely the poorer cousin of the group ones. And this year's renewal wasn't exactly our finest field. You can only beat who you're up against, though. And that win by Buckaroo was dominant. He would have beaten a better field on that run. And now we wait and see where he goes next, Rich.
Yeah, there was big talking points. Him as the winner, fantastic. Really, really blew him away. And then there was some pretty disappointing runs in behind. Let's firstly talk about Buckaroo. So he's in a little bit of a tricky spot because it's 4 weeks of the Caulfield Cup. It looks, you know, the logical progression for him would be the Caulfield Cup. But does he have another run before that? Like, he could go 2 weeks into the Turnbull, about perfect. Another 2 weeks in the Caulfield Cup. But, you know, Waller likes to sort of cuddle these horses along. So
Waller's put it out there, Rich. Waller has actually declared his hand, which he doesn't often do, but he said they're going to go to the Turnbull and then they're going to have a look, and it's going to be based on that Turnbull. If he comes out and wins the Turnbull, then they look at a Cox Plate. And if he maybe doesn't run quite as well on the Turnbull, it'll be onto the Caulfield Cup. And well, I think you were saying he's well in the market for the Caulfield Cup, but you'd want to keep your powder dry for now.
He's $10 in the Caulfield Cup. I'd probably much rather back him at $10 than backing Warmung, which is the favourite, at $7. Great win. And look, he could well end up being one of the stars of the spring. He backed up his big win up in Randwick, but it's probably time to move on to a bit of the Beaten Brigade. What did you make of the Beaten Brigade, mate?
Yeah, I mean, look, Pericles, I wasn't on him, but it did look his best chance at a Group 1. He was four lengths off Buckaroo, and I think he should probably settle back into Group 2 and Group 3 class.
Yeah, well, they'll sort of say that the 1800 didn't suit him. He'll go to the Epsom. He's got to be a good chance in the Epsom, doesn't he, over 1600, which is a Group 1. So maybe that'll be his Epsom, and maybe the market forgets about him. They bet $10 or $11 on the day and he wins. So I could see him winning in Epsom. Could you see him winning in Epsom?
No, I'm not a massive Pericles fan, not at the top level anyway. So I'd probably stay out of that one. The two highest rated runners going into the race were Faulkner Park and Place de Carousel, who I was on. They were disappointments, although the latter might have some excuses.
Yeah, Faulkner Park, nothing other than disappointing. A little bit of a query about how it handled the Melbourne way of going. Also heard Trav Noonan, I was listening to RSN Sunday mornings, which is must listen every week, saying that maybe they need to take Tyler Schiller off. I don't think that'll happen. I think what Trav was suggesting is getting a really strong jockey down, sort of very used to the Melbourne way of going. So I thought that was interesting commentary. Plastic Carousel, maybe a pass mark. We know there was a few dramas with her before the race. She had to get reshod. She also got lacerations during the race. I don't want to steal your thunder from your stewards in 60s.
Yeah, hands off, buddy. Stewards in 60. That's my say.
Stewards in 60 later on, but she wasn't too bad. I went back and watched Without a Fight in the same race last year. Without a Fight ran 6. She ran 8th on Saturday. Without a Fight certainly was hitting the line a lot harder, but she still made a bit of a run, and I don't think it's ready to write her. I don't think we should be writing her off yet, especially considering Sam Friedman was so bullish on her. But that was about it, really. That was the race done, really.
Yeah, well, let's move on then. We'll move on to Lilac Blossoms, three-year-old filly winning the Jim Maloney. Of course, it is the three-year-old filly's race, so that would make sense. Probably more questions than answers out of this, that Silmarillion underperformed, and a nice win by the second elect in the market, Lilac from the Annabelle Nisha man, Rob Archibald Yard.
Yeah, so I think this is her third start. She's come up, she won at Wyong on a Sunday, I reckon. Then she won at Warwick. She ran second at Warwick Farm to Private Life, who was in the Caulfield Guineas Prelude later on. So it was really strong form line out of the race. But yeah, she was really impressive on the day. She's probably unsure if she'll go on the 1,000 guineas. It seemed to be that people think maybe not. It might be a bit all a bit too much for her this early on in her career.
Also a lot deeper in the spring now since they moved it last year to 1,000 guineas. So
it does. So it's 6 weeks away. So it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a long way away. Maybe that's part of their reservation. Silmarillion, I think that they said, didn't find the 1,400 back to 1,200 for her. But the big talking point was Delici Boulevard absolutely flew home for second. And that's sort of the flashing light run that everybody wanted to talk about. And looked an absolute cracking 1,000 guineas trial. Maybe they cuddle her along and, yeah, she'd be right in the thick of the 1,000 guineas.
Will, another Will in the Testa roster. This was the race that got a lot of people talking outside of the Group 1, and it was not just for the win, but the way that another Will was interfered with and a suspension for Blake Shin, 10 meetings for careless riding. But the way another Will recovered from that and went on and won quite comfortably, I had him as my best bet. And once acceptance has dropped, but then when Hear the Shock and Craig come out, he was a stone cold moral, and that race only sort of enhanced his standing for what I think a lot of us think, you and I included, that a Group One is there for the taking this spring.
Yeah, for sure, he's one of the most exciting horses going around. We know that Blake Shin got 10 meetings for coming in on top of Jamie and another Will. So it's all roads now straight to the Toorak, and we might even bring the Toorak market up. So there it is. So I was listening to Trav Noonan again yesterday. He was saying that he thinks another Will get about 56 kilos in the Toorak. That seems like a pretty manageable weight. Some pretty nice horses. He got Antino, Pinstriped, Endcap, Amelia's Jewel, Letitia. There's some good horses, even Celestia.
There is, but they're not going to. This is the 240 might actually be value rich because Pinstripe's got an injury that he'll be battling to overcome in time for the Toorak. So if he comes out, Amelia's Jewel's not going to go to the Toorak. I'd be almost certain of it. So you take those two out of it, and you think, well, 240, it actually doesn't look that bad a price because the standard of competition is probably not going to be great when they get to the Toorak on the 12th of October.
Yeah, maybe. Jimmy Starr's an interesting one too. He's in there in the market too, and he was obviously very impressive in winning. What was the stat about him? Didn't he round the fastest
8.64 and 2 of the entire meeting? So, you know, he obviously had that really good one run at the start of last spring, which set tongues wagging, and then was it the start of this year before the Autumn Carnival? And and then just didn't really go on with it. So, look, he looks to have come back based on that run that he's in terrific form. So we'll see where his spring goes. But yeah, look, maybe he is the threat. Yeah,
so you think that market's going to thin out a lot? You think a lot of horses won't be there?
Big time. Okay. Big time.
Yeah.
So, interesting to see what comes out of that, but certainly another Will, was an eye catcher, another eye catcher. If we move on now to the next in our straight six, and that's Angel Capital in the Guineas Prelude. I was a bit surprised to see Angel Capital start around $6 after his last start win. He certainly ran better than a $6 pop. Stretching out to 1,400 here. You're thinking he's off the top class of those three-year-olds though, Rich?
Yeah, I think so. So we need to see the Golden Rose this week. Obviously, all the A set are in the Golden Rose this week. I kind of call this the B set of the Caulfield Guineas. We'll just see Angel Capital go to the line here, and then we might throw the market up. You see just flashing for, I think they're in second, third. You got public, private life and public appearance. If we throw the market up, public attention, sorry, I pronounced it wrong. Yeah, so what I thought is interesting here, so $7 Angel Capital, not really interested in that. I don't feel like there's as big a gap between Angel Capital and Private Life and Public Attention, which ran very close to Angel Capital on Saturday. They're both $21. Well, look, we need to see the Golden Rose this Saturday. You've obviously got Broadsiding and Linebacker who are probably going to start favourite and second favourite in the Golden Rose on Saturday. So once we see them, that'll be interesting. You've also got Stormboy, Traffic Warden. So, yeah, look, there's some... Yeah, I don't feel comfortable
with Angel Capital. It's who goes there. Playing in these early markets is fraught with danger unless you've got the refund if they don't take their spot. Because, I'm looking at that too. And I don't think if I'm looking at that lineup in that first six there, and I don't think Angel Capital is in the class of a Broadsiding Linebacker, Stormboy, Traffic Warden. So you're right in that respect. But how many actually go to the Caulfield Guineas? Well, we'll have to wait and see.
I mean, I think $21 Private Life and Public Attention is not a bad throw at the stumps. And even getting close to the race, if they, you know, manage to stay around that price on the day, or even they might get out a bit more of some of those horses in the first lines of betting turn up. So, yeah, I just thought that I could just see them being the roughies that could come flying down the outside and have their one big run of the spring and win a Caulfield Guineas.
Before we leave Caulfield and take a look at Sydney, race two, we had Federer go around at twos on. Did not fire a shot. But it did allow Matt Hill to produce one of the lines of the day, probably the line of the day. Let's take a listen.
By Le Zebra. It's a foot fault for Federer.
And that is why he is the best in the business, because to be able to pull that out, you know, in the run, 200 to go, he probably had a line in his head, but then to be able to work it in where he did and when he did, I just think, I mean, I'm an unabashed Matt Hill fan. I know him well. He's a ripping bloke. He's a great caller. He's the best in the world.
And he did. He came from New South Wales. Is it? Am I correct in saying he grew up in New South Wales? Is that right?
No. No, you're not. No, he's a Victorian. He's a good Western.
Right, but he called in New South Wales for a while, didn't he?
He may have in his younger days. Yes.
Yeah, he definitely did.
He definitely didn't grow up there. Let's move to New South Wales. Let's move to Randwick. And look, Autumn Glow, she is a dead set star. And Chris Waller continued to push that on radio this morning. He is an unabashed fan of Autumn Glow, as many of us are. He called her a carbon copy of her dad, the Autumn Sun. But he also, unfortunately, Rich, confirmed that she won't be going beyond the flight stakes, next start and then paddock. And that's a shame, because I and you, I know because we've discussed this off air, would love to see her at the Valley with no weight on her back over 2,040 metres.
Yeah, I put the Twitter poll out. Yes, I thought it was the most interesting question out of the meeting. I knew that there was virtually no chance that she'd go on to the Cox Plate. That's been confirmed, as you say, this morning. Wallace said absolutely no way she will go on. We do have a Twitter poll. Why don't we quickly throw the Twitter poll up and we can see what people thought. So there it is. If Autumn Glow wins the flight stakes and pulls up well, would you run on the Cox Plate, considering she gets nearly 12 kilos on horses like Mr. Brightside? So interestingly, a lot of people wanted to run her. Over 40% of people said, yeah, you know, have a throw at the stumps and go and do it. We know it's not going to happen, but yeah, a bit disappointing. I think as punters, we want to see that happen. So the big talking point out of the race, though, was snow in May. So snow in May absolutely flew. Another another filly by the Autumn Sun. So Massara and co would be pretty happy about that. Absolutely flew home from the O'Shea Charlton stable. And Trav Noonan, once again, he was saying yesterday that he thought, he thought $3 snow in May in the flight stakes for the place was a good price. You can see it's trimmed up a little bit there into $2.75.
I'll happily take $1.80 about the Autumn Glow to win that flight. So only bad luck's beating the Autumn Glow.
Sure. Yeah, look, she's had an amazing campaign. Can't wait to see what she does in the flight stakes, and also beyond that, people have started to talk about what would they do with her in the autumn. That's a conversation for another time, I
guess.
She'll
shine in the autumn. She'll shine bright.
Just a question without notice, but what do you think her target should be in the autumn?
I honestly can't think that quickly off the top of my head, Rich.
Doncaster, maybe. Someone else suggests like an all-star mile, but I said the all-star mile doesn't carry Group 1 status. I don't know. It's hard to know, isn't it? She could obviously just stay with her own age and sex. You got the ATC Oaks as well.
Got the Australian Guineas.
Australian Guineas, Australian Cup. I don't know. Yeah. Interesting to see what they do with. Obviously, she can get a bit of weight relief if she goes against any kind of open company. So,
Another star female horse out of the Chris Waller camp is Fangirl. And again, news from Chris Waller on RSN this morning. Fangirl will not go to the Cox Plate. She'll stick to the mile, stay in Sydney for a majority of this. Her only run in Melbourne this spring will be the champion mile at Flemington on final day. But she'll be just about favourite wherever she goes around based on that run on Saturday.
Yeah, that's interesting. So I didn't know that. So Waller said she's definitely not going to go to the Cox Plate.
Nah, that's sticking to the mile.
That's big news. Okay, and then so her absolute grand final would be the champion's mile on the last day of the carnival, the Flemington Carnival, as you just said.
Correct.
Okay, so, well, that's good. Makes sense. Bit disappointed she's not going to be the Cox Plate, but we move on from that. But what did you make of her run? So we're in a fortunate position here that we're about to be able to see her get clicked up from sort of she's just gone past the 800 on the screen there. At the end of her run, I was in the den with the boys in the Saturday session, and I said I thought that she blew them away. And many of the boys didn't agree with me, and then it also got put up on Twitter by racing.com. And it seemed like generally most people think she didn't blow them away. I went back and had a look at the run, and we're about to see her now here. So basically, J-Mac starts to pull her out here, and when they go past the 400, I've measured that right now she's about 7-8 lengths off the lead, and J-Mac clicks her up as we're seeing here now, and she basically wins by at least a length. He's down. I know that Maya Oberon comes at her hard, but J-Mac had sat up on her by this time. So in my opinion, I think she blew them away. What do you think, Rog? Yes or no, blew them away?
Yeah, well, I certainly, I've only watched the race once, and that was live at the time, and I would agree with you, Rich. I thought she just did what she needed to do. She rounded J-Mac you know, took her out wide, rounded them up, and she's just the best horse in the race. The best horse in the race won it. Disappointing run from Zoo Got You. That the maybe there wasn't that pressure going to the line, but I certainly thought I would take that run every single day of the week. Well, let's see what Dan O'Sullivan thought of Fangirl's run, because his all-important ratings do come out on a Monday. You can see them there if you're watching on YouTube. But, Rich, Buckaroo, let's start there before we do get to Fangirl, because he was the highest-rated run of the weekend.
There he is, 102.7. What a Dano said. He said, Buckaroo, a big new Australian peak up from 99.9 and matches his overseas peak of 102.8. A live Caulfield Cup chance with 54.5 kilos if he holds that rating at 2,400 metres. And I'll let Alias you read the next one.
Big, yeah, Alias was the big surprise, I think, for me of the weekend. Up from 97, a 101.7, 55 kilos, puts him at a level that wins most Group 1 Metropolitans.
Yeah, he. There's always a surprise packet, and that did surprise me. It shows that it was a serious win by Elias. He's putting together a really good record. Adrian and Gay would be very happy. We've got I Am Me there on 101.3. I don't think, oh, you know, he does. Dano says, I Am Me, 101.3 versus 102.3 last start. This is her third best career performance flying. So she ran a slightly weaker rating, but that's to be expected because I don't think the field was as hot as it was when you had Bella Nipotina and such in the market. And also, Gigakick. Remember, your friend Clayton had Gigakick as well in that race.
Gigakick trialling tomorrow at Hawkesbury too. The plans are still that way. So as he heads to the Premier Stakes. Fangirl, though, back to her 101. Couldn't have done much more with the race shape against. She'll follow the same pattern as last year, 4 weeks into the Group 1 King Charles. She ran a career peak of 105.7 in that race last year. So sort of, I think Dan O's assessment of the race sort of backs up what we say, Rich. She couldn't have done much more. She blew them away in a way that that's what she had to do. She wound them up.
She ran the line strong. Yeah.
Exactly. So yeah. I think, hey, we're taking it as a win. Will Wright.
Yeah, I feel vindicated. There's no way that anyone will agree that I've been vindicated, but I'm going to take it. It's all about what happens in my own head that matters really, isn't it?
And a lot goes on, a lot.
A lot goes on, yeah. It sure does, especially dark at the moment. Place. My missus is away and I'm single parenting. There's plenty going on. Anyway, let's get back to racing. Autumn Glow to finish off Dano's ratings. What does he say? He says, hasn't hit the elite rating levels yet, but keeps winning in dominant style. All the signs that she has more to come. I suspect the autumn is when we'll see her start to maximise her potential. Well, that is exciting to hear.
All right, we've alluded to this earlier in the show, but it's time now for the Stewards in 60.
Stewards Room Speed Round.
All right, let's start with the Underwood. As mentioned earlier, Placida Carousel. She was disappointing but might have excuses. Reshod on arrival at the barriers after pulling the near four plate. Underwent a veterinary examination and was passed suitable to race. Performed well below market expectations. Mark Zara reported the mare was agitated pre-race and pulling up made a respiratory noise. A post-race veterinary examination revealed the mare had sustained lacerations to the left hind, and a vet clearance is required prior to being permitted to race again. So I'd take that as a pass, Mark, and not time to jump off just yet. Faulkner Park performed well below market expectations. Tyler Schiller reported the gelding did not appreciate the racing inside runners and had a tendency to lay in. Post-race vet didn't identify anything significant or abnormal. And in race 9, the Guinness Prelude, Epimel's $10 chance, post-rate endoscopic examination identified a degree of mucus that may have affected the horse's racing performance. So vet clearance required prior to being permitted to race again there for Epimel's. And I would take that, if you backed Epimel's, I would take that as an excuse.
Yeah, I'm actually heading out to Annabelle Neesham and Rob Archibald stable tomorrow morning. We've got to get up at 4 a.m. So we'll be getting all the latest information on horses like Faulkner Park. We're doing a little bit of a podcast vlog style thing like we did with Sam Friedman. So I'll be out there tomorrow morning and looking forward to that. And I can ask you a few questions about horses like Faulkner Park.
4 a.m. It's when the that's when you should be getting up, Rich, every day.
That's when you get up, isn't it?
That is when I get up. That's because you get to enjoy. It feels like you're stealing time.
Cool. I'll call you. I'll call you while I'm driving out there. Is that all right?
You're free. Absolutely. Lucky it wasn't this morning because you never call me during a Packers game.
That's right. This is true. Oh, did they win, by the way?
They did.
Okay. Nice. Is Jordan back? Jordan Love back?
He's not, no. Backup quarterback, and they're 2-0 with a backup quarterback. So things are going looking always very happens, nice in Green Bay for when Jordan Love returns. But we better get back to racing.
We better.
Cook the book.
It is time to find who won the latest installment of the age-old battle between bookmaker and punter, and to find out from Ladbrokes, it is the resident Rayman, or, you know, as he's more widely known, Tom Hackett. And from a punting point of view, it is from Wolf Den, Kingsley Bartholomew. Tommy, we're going to start with you, and we're going to start with the Group 1, the Underwood Stakes. There was good money for Place to Carousel and Pericles, but did the punters come for Buckaroo? He was the last start Group 2 winner, and it wasn't a banner field.
No real money at all for Buckaroo on our end, which did surprise me a little bit. Buckaroo ends up being a $289,000 winner for the Ladbrokes book. I think it was sort of two different horses that were back. Plaster Carousel was well supported. I think a lot of that's come through the pros. I know Kingsley was on quite early for the French import. And then I think a lot of the recreational money and the money on the day did come for Pericles, who was our worst result in the race, a $287,000 loser. So Pericles and Plastic Carousel were our only two losing results going into the race. And horses like Buckaroo weren't wanted. So end up being a good result for the book in a race that was well handled by the traders. We were quite keen to take on Pericles. We had Pericles marked generally at top of the market, and our boys would have been happy to chase Pericles right out.
I think a lot of people, Kingsley, were keen to pot Pericles. You were, as Tommy said, you were keen on Plaster Carousel. Did you play big in the race, and did you have any other bets in? Did you think Buckaroo was a winning hope?
I thought, well, originally the market went up 330 Pericles, 550 Buckaroo, and I thought those prices were way too short, and that's why I stepped in at about the 480 mark on Plaster Carousel. But Pericles got to $5 and Buckaroo got to about $9. So I only backed the one horse in the race, so I did my money. But from a form perspective, what was interesting is Buckaroo hadn't won a race in Australia after coming from the UK for 12 months. And then now has put two together. Plaster Carousel, who does look a nice horse, is 6 months in and yet to win a race here. So it does take those overseas horses a while to sort of click into gear sometimes and acclimatise. So I don't have the stats, but I'd love to know prep-wise, first prep, second prep, third prep, how you go backing these overseas horses, because we forget sometimes that they have come from overseas, like a Faulkner Park.
I think Plaster Carousel, as we heard in the Stewards in the 60, might have had some excuses, but I'm not sure would have won the race nonetheless. What about race 7, Kingsley? We did see a big market move for immediacy, and you're probably responsible for it, to be fair. You were very keen on the Saturday set. What drew you that way, and how disappointed were you in the run of immediacy?
Yeah, I mean, immediacy, when I was doing the form on Thursday morning, my form comes through Thursday morning. I was sitting there doing it, and I saw Ladbrokes were $8. I thought, geez, that seems a big price. By the time I'd finished doing the form, it was $5.50, and then I stepped in, took $5 and $4.80, and at the end there, immediacy really came in and started $3.20, which was a massive, massive go in a group one like that. So disappointing result and never really in the race at all.
Tommy, how do you feel taking Kings's cash in that race in particular? But was that money with Ladbrokes, or did that move come elsewhere?
No, we did see a lot of that money. Immediacy was the biggest guy of the day. There's no doubt ended up being was a losing result of over $100,000. So it was a good result for us in the end there. St. George was well backed as well for us. It was a loser of just over $90,000. But it was a funny betting race where there was that big move for immediacy, but we still did see some support for a number of other runners here and a couple of those at a big price as well. I think it was a race where you've got a lot of, I guess, high profile horses, so a higher profile than probably the level of the race suggested. So it was horses like Francesco Guardi, who I've seen have success in major races before, not going that well, but we still did see a lot of that recreational money on the day. So ended up being a positive result for the book this race. But I think it'd be an interesting form race going forward. So I did think there was a few runs that did probably warrant another look. And it was a race where the more you watch the replay, the more sort of stories there were coming out of it.
I Am Me nutted Steffi Magnetica in the shorts at Randwick. Tom, I know you were keen on her. I was keen on her. Was she one of the better bets and bigger bets that your punters had on that program on Saturday?
She was very well backed early. It was almost like that. We've talked about it before. Kingsley has mentioned it, that initial price that went out, and that price is almost fake news because it was gone within half an hour. And then the money did continue to come. But we were pretty, our trading team were pretty hesitant. We kept it pretty safe, I and me. So we didn't do a huge amount of damage on that race, considering the fact it was the market move and considering you had James McDonald in the saddle as well. So it was only an $85,000 loser for us, which considering that early fluctuation and the fact that J-Mac had a day out, was probably a well-played race by the traders. Private Eye was well-supported with us late. It was actually our worst result in the race. It would have been a $230,000 loser.
I did see some seething punters online in regard to Private Eye. Hey, Kingzone, that was one leg, as Tom mentioned, of the J-Mac quaddy. He rode all four legs. Autumn Glow Fangirl were the first two. You've always been happy to take short quotes on horses you think will win. Did you have a go at either of those two stars?
Fangirl, I definitely did. I had one of the biggest bets I've had for a while was on Fangirl. I just thought the race shape for her looked sensational on Saturday, and she did get up in the end and won. Even with the Waterhouse horse Royal Patronage missing the start, Royal Patronage was probably the run of the race out of that. I thought after missing the kick and not really settling, nothing really went right. So I think Royal Patronage has definitely got a Group One in him, but. All honours with Fangirl on Saturday for sure.
In terms of Fangirl and Autumn Glow, Tom, did the J-Mac multis do some damage to the book?
Yeah, they absolutely did. Punters at the end had a bit of a day out at Randwick. It was a very, very popular multi that won those two into each other, Autumn Glow into Fangirl. And then J-Mac riding the quarter is always going to be tough times from a bookmaking point of view. So punters well and truly on top at Randwick. There were some good results early in the day for the punters as well. Even when we go in the first race, El Costello was extremely well backed. It was a $266,000 loser for the book. And then it's the first time in a while I can think where we've lost on all four legs of the quaddy. It doesn't happen very often, but yeah, punters definitely filled their boots in Sydney this weekend.
James McDonald, the punter's power. How did the Ladbrokes book fare overall at Caulfield and Randwick?
Randwick, as I said, punters have finished well and truly on top there. Caulfield was really interesting. The books finished in front, but not without a few nervous moments in the last. So the horse that won the last was a $420,000 winner for the Ladbrokes book. But A Little Deep, who was extremely well backed in the last race, was a $640,000 loser. So that photo finish at the end was $1 million swing for the book. And sometimes when you're a punter, but you also work for a bookmaker, it does put you in a delicate position on some occasion. As someone that did take top of the market for A Little Deep and was one of my biggest bets of the day, I did have my allegiances were a little bit torn at the end there. So you've got to be careful sometimes working for a bookmaker, and you don't want to be seen cheering against the book in the trading room. So I've got
always
to
cheer.
Yeah, I was cheering for myself in that final race, but then I can take a sit back a couple of days later and say, all right, it was a good result for the book.
Yeah, because Ladbrokes put enough cash in your pocket, Tommy, that you don't have to worry about it either way. And, you know, those photo finishes going either way, it's just like how the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes always get the penalty calls go their way. It just always seems to swing the way of the bad guys, Kingzone. Hey, Tommy, before we let you go, had racing at Flemington on Sunday. How did the turnover for that meet sort of compare to your average Sunday? I'd imagine big track, Flemington popular track, it would have been significantly up on your average Sunday at, say, Sale.
Yeah, absolutely, Roger. Turnover was well and truly up. And I think the other big positive was there was, like, you had a bit of community footy, but there's no NRL, there's no AFL. Racing got a lot of clear air. And we know what punters do. Punters punt. So it was really good turnover, good action. I think that's a meeting that should stay there. I think that Sunday afternoon, prelim final weekend, when there is no sort of competition, is time for racing to take centre stage and really shine on a Sunday afternoon.
And racing takes centre stage from Friday night this week, so a big chance for punters, Kings, to punters to get it back. It's surely it's our turn.
Oh, what about today? It's always on.
Yeah, there's never always stops. Another race. Hey, gentlemen, thank you very much. We'll chat to you next week on .com and The Den Monday.
Sneak peek.
Next week. This week starts Friday. It starts early, as we mentioned, Rich. AFL Grand Final week here in Melbourne. And on Grand Final Eve, we have Group 1 racing at Moonee Valley, the Manukato Stakes, in its new home. The final field has dropped, and Growing Empire is set to take on the big gun. So that just makes this an even more mouth-watering Group 1 on Friday night that I can flick over to while the Melbourne Storm are giving the Roosters a bath.
It is. We've been getting excited about this meeting for a really long time, and the Den will be there. You're not going to believe this. We've been given the Winx boardroom. So that's where the committee of the Moonee Valley Racing Club meet. They've let us have it for the night, and we'll be there doing a live stream, which everybody out there can watch. It'll be a lot of fun. And I know you are committed to your Storm on Friday night, Rog, but you will watch our live stream a little bit as well.
And also, I will absolutely have it on. And as I've said to you before, I don't think I've said it on the podcast before, I may have, but if you are watching the races just by yourself, maybe having a couple of froths, and the live stream's on, throw it on, because it does feel like you're at the pub, you're hanging out with mates. It's a very relaxed vibe, and there's no reason why I can't have the Storm. And
absolutely. And well, I can tell you, we'll have the Storm on. We'll have the Storm on in the background in the live stream.
Well, so, that's right. Yeah. I mean, Kings might not be too happy when the Roosters get flogged. But, hey, the Fee and Stakes also Friday night. Golden ticket into the Cox Plate.
Seriously, look at this. Mr. Brightside versus Pride of Jenny.
You mentioned you'll be in the Winx boardroom. The Moonee Valley Racing Club board would have been absolutely frothing at the prospect. Frothing. Brightside, Pride of Jenny, and to a lesser extent, Antino. Atishu's obviously a Group 1 winner as well. It's a fantastic field. If this comes off, this is going
to... It has to. They can't cheese up now. They've teased us too much. Like, it's got to happen. They've got to both go there. And it looks like the greatest match race of all time. Can't wait.
And Around the Valley just adds that extra element of excitement. So, yes, I think this... No, it won't take any shine off the Group 1, but what a 1-2 punch at the Valley on Friday night. And then you get the knockout blow up at Rose Hill on Saturday. The Golden Rose is the race we've been waiting for weeks.
As the Swannies kick to the lead in the grand final, you can watch the Golden Rose as well.
This is why you need picture in picture, because the Lions and the Swans doing battle at the G, and then the Golden Rose. And you can see the market there, broadsiding, Traffic Warden, Storm Boy, Linebacker. This is a who's who of three-year-olds. I don't think I've been this excited for a three-year-old race maybe ever. Piero and also All Too Hard in the Caulfield Guineas more than a decade ago. That got me up.
But this has big implications for the Caulfield Guineas, because depending on how horses go in this, they might go to the Guineas, they might be set for the Coolmore Stud Stakes, they might be set for the Everest. So it's actually a really, really seminal race in the spring.
Yeah, it is just something that we can really look forward to, Richard, and there's plenty of things to look forward to this spring.
There is, and I've got a big one too. So if you want to punt with us, punt with the boys from the Den and also the boys from .com. Hutchie will be involved, and also BZ, Brent Zarafa and Clint Hutchison. So we're putting together a bit of a punters club on Manukato night, and you can all get involved in that. It's a small buy-in, it's a modest buy-in, $25. See it up on the screen now, the details about it. But basically it's just your classic punters club. We pool our money. We'll put the bets on for everybody. We might try and think about maybe doing a Twitter poll or an Instagram poll to get a little bit of help on one of the races. But look, it's just a bit of fun. Give people a bit more skin in the game when they're watching the live stream. So go on to Ladbrokes. We'll put the link to do this in the description. If you are a Ladbrokes client, you can go into the communities and put in WOOFDEN24, where you got to join the communities. If you're not a Ladbrokes client yet, I'll put a link in where you can go and sign up. And then when you do arrive at the communities, you can put WOOFDEN24 in as well. So $25 buy-in. It'll be a bit of fun. You can punt with all of us. Yeah.
And Hutchie needs to bring his best for something like this, because I think Munamek's going to the paddock. So Hutchie's got to find another form of cash, getting money to support the family.
BZ are both great judges.
They are very good judges, as are the Wolf Den crew.
Exactly. We all try our best.
That's right. So if you do want to get involved, as Rich said, go to the show notes or look for a link on the website and on social media. Should be a ripper. Should be a great weekend. As always, we are right into it this spring, and we'll be back next Monday on .com and the Den Mondays to dissect another huge week of racing, which, as we said, Rich, it starts Friday night and just keeps going.
One of the best weekends of the year, Friday night in the grand final, rugby league semi-finals. How good is it to be a punter? How good is it to be a sports fan? Up the Den. See you soon. See you Friday night. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.